The scripture lesson today is from the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. And we're going to be reading the first 20 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is a Mother's Day story, by the way. True one, too. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zephite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were the priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penaniah and to all of her sons and daughters, but to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? And once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up, and now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In the bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And as she kept on praying in the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled, and I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish of grief. And Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way, and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. And Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Now, isn't that an interesting story? What if I told you today that this message was going to end with us giving a round of applause to a woman who's been dead for 3,100 years? I hope that's where we come out. We're talking about a genuine heroine in the Bible now, someone who truly belongs in the Faith Hall of Fame. She is a woman after God's own heart. And we're going to explore in just the next few minutes what that means. She's a lady who had really two parts to her life, and she was heroic in both of those parts. The first part of her life, she knew the pain of wanting to be a mom and not being able to. Because in that day, a person's children were looked upon as a blessing from God, and if you didn't have any children or you couldn't have children, it was looked upon as being a curse from God. Today, it's more of a legitimate lifestyle choice if you choose not to have kids, but then it was looked upon as a curse. And so here's this woman suffering from low self-esteem. She feels bad about herself. She's being picked on mercilessly by her sister wife. She's being accused of not being a good wife. She's experiencing disappointment with God. God, I've prayed 1,000 times for a child, and haven't you heard me? She's feeling the hurt of being the odd person out in the social settings of her home. She feels cursed by God, but she didn't lash out at God. Because of what she experienced there, she kind of represents all women and some of the emotions that they experience during the course of their lives. And so stay tuned as we look closer, whether you're a single person right now or married, younger, older, student, whether you work, whether you live at home, whether you're wealthy or poor, whatever, healthy or sickly right now, you'll be able to identify with Hannah as we go along and some of the emotions that she's going through. That's the first part of her life. The second part of her life began after a talk with her pastor. And they talked about what she was going through. And she then left that time with a sense of peace, and God gave her that peace. Later, she became pregnant, miraculously, and surprising everyone in her family. She experienced the thrill of that, and all of the dreams that she had had previously were suddenly being realized. She had standing again with her husband in the eyes of everyone else in the family and around them. Then she experienced the morning sickness and the first signs of her being pregnant, the first kick in the womb, all of the changes that were taking place in her body, all of that. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. And then finally, the birth process and the nursing of that precious little baby, the showing him off to family and friends and the joy of all of that. And then she faced a different kind of pain and a different challenge, because in asking God for this child, she promised that if God came through, she would take that child and hand him back over to God to be in the ministry for the rest of his life. She would basically entrust him to the priest, Eli, and walk away from him as a mom so that he could fully serve the Lord. Now that's a whole different kind of pain. But she did it. To make a long story short, she did it. And the fact that she kept her vow to God, even though they were the only two in on this vow, the fact that she kept that vow to God showed her strength of character. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. The point isn't what she accomplished in her life, what she did, all of the things that she built or the armies she defeated. The point of Hannah's life is her strength of character. It's the way she stuck to her guns and was true to herself and true to her vows. Now here's the short version of her story. The year's 1100 BC. 1100 BC. And Elkanah, we met him in the scripture, has two wives. Penaniah has a raft of kids. Hannah has none. She has been unable to have children. Every year, the three of them, along with their servants, make a trip up to Shiloh to worship God. This was for the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was an annual celebration where they remembered how God had taken care of Moses in the desert when he escaped from Egypt. And so this sacred feast took place, and people would actually travel to be there and to attend that feast. They did this every year. And during that time, because they traveled in close proximity, Penaniah, who was not such a nice person, would take the opportunity to pick on her sister wife, Hannah, and rub in the fact that she couldn't have kids. Both wives went each year, and then again, this is again where Hannah suffered the worst. It was 1 year too much for Hannah, all of the needling and the picking on of her by Penaniah, and she decided she needed to go to the temple and talk to God. She did that. She had almost a nervous breakdown, but she made it to the temple and she just poured her heart out in tears before God and said, "I don't know if I can take it anymore." The priest Eli saw her praying. She prayed silently, but her lips were moving. He mistook her for being drunk. And they had a conversation afterwards, and finally Eli realized that she was being absolutely sincere, that she was literally pouring her heart out. And so he blessed her, and he said, "God's in control of this situation. Be at peace, Hannah." And she changed and snapped out of it and experienced this peace. And it says in the scriptures, no longer could you see the pain in her face. And she went home knowing that something was different. And the scripture says she became pregnant and had a son, Samuel, and she kept her vow and gave him back to be a priest unto the Lord. And the rest is history. Samuel became one of the great leaders of Israel, alongside of Abraham and Moses and David. You have Samuel, a great spiritual leader, one of the people that God used most influential in his own people, Samuel. So that's the capsule version of the story. Now I want to just step back and go through it a little bit more detail, because there are some things that we should notice about this Hannah. She was, as I said, a heroine in every sense of the word. First of all, she went ahead and accompanied her husband and her sister wife on this pilgrimage every year, knowing how much pain it would bring them, but she felt committed to support her husband and to be there in spite of the fact that she was going to get picked on. That says something about her right there. She was committed to her husband and committed to her family. She was going to, even at her own sacrifice, be there for them and support them. And she also wanted to experience worship and be and spend some special time with God. She also knew the pain of childlessness. And that's a special kind of pain that I can only comment on because I've never experienced anything like that. I can sympathize, but there are some of you here who can actually empathize. You know what that pain feels like when you want in the worst way to become pregnant and it just doesn't happen. Hannah felt that. And it was even worse, as I said back then, because if you didn't have kids, you were looked upon as less than a complete woman back then. And oftentimes ostracized. There goes the barren one. There goes the woman who can't have kids. And believe me, these ladies picked up on it, and it hurt them deeply. The scripture says, old Elk, the husband, had a special love for Hannah, ironically. He was more romantically drawn to Hannah than to Peninnah, and Peninnah sensed it. And it says, when they went to sacrifice to the Lord, they got to save the meat and eat it, and old Elk gave Hannah an extra piece of meat. Now, guys, next Valentine's Day, forget about bracelets and necklaces and pearls and jewelry and all those kind of things. If you really want to say I love you to your spouse or your significant other, give them an extra pork chop. Especially if it's got a lot of fat and grizzle on it. Old Elk did that because he had a special feeling for Hannah. But he pitied her too. And pity has a way of knocking down our self-esteem even more. And Hannah sensed this from him. She pitied her. And then there was Peninnah, and she's... the only way you could describe her is she was catty. She used every opportunity in her jealousy to tease and be sarcastic to Hannah. She said to her things like, well, I've been saving all these maternity robes for you. Oh, that's right, you won't be needing them. Could you hold little Lester here? Oh, be sure you support his head. I know you don't have too much experience in holding babies. Or, my kids mean so much to me. How could I ever live without them? And Elk is such a good dad. You should see him. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have any kids, do you? And it hurt Hannah deeply. But she didn't claw back. She did not go back at Peninnah. She took it. It's so easy to lower ourselves to the level of somebody that's attacking us, isn't it? But she didn't do that. And then comes old Elk again with his insensitive remarks in verse 8. Let me read it for you, because, guys, this is what not to say to someone who's struggling emotionally. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? What not to say to a woman who's struggling because she can't have kids. But she didn't lash back at Elk either. She took it. Reminds me of that beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13, love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious or boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Boy, Hannah lived that out, didn't she? It reminds me, too, of the last fruit of the Spirit that's listed, you know what it is? love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Hannah demonstrated this throughout her life, self-control. She didn't lash back. She didn't claw back at these people who were teasing her. Even when she was misunderstood by her priest and who accused her of being drunk, she didn't get mad and go away in a huff. She simply explained to him what she'd been praying for. Bravo to Hannah for what she didn't say. Not for just the things that she said, but for what she didn't say. She was a woman who wept long and often, and her eyes were always red. And that's significant, too, because she was open about her grief. She was open about her struggling. So often Christians think they got to hide that they're less than full Christians if they cry or if they experience grief. Don't you ever believe that. God means for us to use the physiological means that he's given us to release our emotions, and that is tears. She was open about how she was experiencing these things. She didn't put a mask on, but she asked for their support. And notice how she reacted to her circumstances. She took her suffering to God, it says in the scriptures. She went in prayer. She acknowledged, God, you're still in control of this situation. She continued to ask for what she'd asked for 1,000 times, which was a son. She volunteered a promise and a vow to God. She said, if you give me this son, I promise you I'll give him back to you to serve you all of his life. And she accepted God's word of comfort through Eli. She rested easy after they had that talk. And then the miracle occurred. And notice here, too, interestingly, God is part of their most intimate time together, Elkanah and Hannah. Usually we don't think of God in those terms. We excuse him from the bedroom. But it says Elkanah and Hannah lay together and God was there and opened her womb. And even before conception, this miracle was in the works because God was present there. And then the most important thing, she kept her vow. She kept her vow to God. Even though it was just really between her and God. This was just something she had prayed about and promised God. Nobody else heard. In fact, her priest thought she was drunk when she made this prayer. This was a private conversation. And just imagine how easy it would have been for her to rationalize and forget about what she had said. Lord, times have changed. And I'm holding this little baby now, and I can't even begin to imagine what life would be like without him. But she didn't do that. Even though this was just between her and God, she kept her promise and kept her vow. And I think that's the most heroic thing about Hannah's life, the most heroic thing that we can lift up and say, how am I doing in that area? I've made vows over the course of my life. I've made vows when I got married. I made vows when I baptized my kids or was baptized myself. I made vows when I confessed my faith and joined the church. I made vows to give and to serve and to do all of these things. How am I doing on keeping those vows? So that's a beautiful thing about Hannah. Dear lady, we're so proud of you. for the way you lived just quietly, quietly reflecting what it is to be a godly woman. I wish I could borrow Hannah from heaven for 1 hour and have her stand here before you. I really do. So that we could show her what we think of her. How do you measure it? How do you measure up to the bar that Hannah set for us all today? Are you a prayer like she was? Diligently, consistently praying for something, even though you don't get it at first. Jesus talked about that, how important that is. Do you believe in the promises of God? Do you exercise self-control when other people are picking at you or say things that aren't true about you or mistreat you? Do you endure suffering, things that you can't control and don't understand, with a confidence that God is still in control? Are you open and honest about the struggles that you're going through with people around you that care and can pray for you? And most of all, do you keep your promises? Promises made before God. Promises that maybe only you and he know about, but promises that are important all the same. So I said I wanted to borrow Hannah from heaven. You'll meet her, by the way, you'll meet her one day when you get there. But I wanted to borrow her for just a moment because I think her life deserves a round of applause. Will you join me? Let's pray. Father, as we think about the life of this dear lady, we just are amazed at her courage, her strength of character, the way you just poured your love out upon her, and the way you used her, Father, as a stepping stone to Israel's future. She truly, Father, is an example to us of what living by faith is really all about. Bless her, Father. She's not only a wonderful, courageous mother, but she's an example to all women, and men for that matter, as well. We thank you for her life, and we look forward to meeting her personally one day. And we pray this now in Christ's name. Amen.